Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first official podcast of Ventures. My name is Stephen Michael, and welcome to my first ever podcast. This is definitely going to be quite the adventure, and where here we are going to venture through several different topics every day, discussing life, adventures, travel, the everyday just hell of life, the joys of life, everything and anything is open up for discussion here on this podcast. I'd like to introduce you guys to myself a little bit. My name is Stephen Michael Mastandrea, the whole shebang. Named after my father, his name is Steve Angelo Mastandrea. So we do, yes, have the same name. I don't know why. I think it was a thing they did in the 70s when they were all doing what we're doing now. But legally. I live here in the great Pacific Northwest. I live right outside of the big city of Seattle, Washington, in a little small town called Burien. It's a weird little town. It is a very small town outside of a very large city. All the surrounding cities around us are very different from this little community. It is a pretty large community here, but in comparison to every other town around us, we are actually very, very small. All of our businesses and stores and restaurants mainly consist all on the same road, which is First Avenue, which stretches about, I would say, 3 to 5 miles, and then all around First Avenue is just housing, and it is just one of those little towns where you have one main high school, one main middle school, and then a 2 to 3 elementary schools. So growing up, you know, everybody was kind of separated, and then when you start to get into middle school and high school, it becomes very much so a everyone knows everyone and their mother kind of town. A lot of people that live here have grown up here their whole lives, and it's definitely growing. Our city has changed a lot. We have gotten a lot of new businesses and high rises and banks that we just didn't have before. It is a old small farming town, but it's awesome. It's great. You know, I'm a 10-minute drive right outside of Seattle. Here in Burien, we are right on the edge of the water, so it is a little waterfront town. To me, it's kind of much like how Malibu is to Los Angeles. It is a small, older farming town that has been around forever. It is a place where everybody knows everybody, and I'm not going to continue to bore you any longer with my small town talk. But again, I've lived here my whole life. It is, you know, outside of Burien, Seattle, and the rest of Washington is a really awesome place to live. And I highly recommend, if you've never been here before, to definitely come and visit. There is, and what I like to tell everybody, there is something for anyone and everyone to do here. If you are a skier, a snowboarder, if you like windsurfing, if you like regular surfing, if you like driving dune buggies through the sand, if you like sand surfing or ice skating or pretty much any other sport of that nature, kayaking, canoeing, roller skating, football, basketball, you can play any sport and do any activity that you can possibly think of here in this state. Where I'm at in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle, we do get a lot of rain. We get moderate temperatures in the summer. It doesn't get too crazy hot. There are days where we do get temperatures in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. But the cool thing about Washington State is if you are in the top left-hand corner, as I like to call it, you do get a lot of rain, a lot of precipitation. We do get snow and thunderstorms. We actually just got our very first devastating tornado that actually took out businesses and homes. And A lot of people were hurting because up here you don't have tornado insurance, let alone I don't know if they offer tornado insurance. But and again in the top left-hand corner of Washington State, besides the snow, rain, sleet, and hail and thunder and lightning, we do have a pretty amazing place that no one really. A lot of people in Washington don't even know about their own state, is that we have a rainforest here called the Ho Rainforest. And not a lot of places in the United States have a rainforest. And I went there for the first time a couple years ago, and it was pretty fucking awesome. It is a lot of trees. It is very wet and humid and damp. All the trees are just covered and covered in moss, and it's hanging from the trees. I mean, it really just is the perfect scene for a movie. And I was just watching the news the other day, and they're actually shooting a movie over here. I guess two really good friends were hiking in the Ho Rainforest about 5 years back, and they just talked about how it would be such an awesome spot to shoot a movie, a movie about an alien planet, just because of the terrain and the way it looks over there. It really does look like something from out of this world. And they got together, and it's actually a movie that's being produced that they shot there. And I am not sure of the name. I'll mention it in another podcast when I do get that information. But the scene that they used in that scenery is based off of another alien planet that they go and visit. And when I do get that name or the movie comes out, I will definitely be suggesting that to you guys. Now, in the bottom left-hand corner of this state, it is pretty much the same as the top left-hand corner of Washington. They do get rain. I would say it would be a little bit less in the top left-hand corner. Again, we do have Forks, Washington, which is one of the wettest and rainiest cities in the world. And if you don't remember what Forks, Washington is from, it is the Twilight Saga. And the small town of Forks actually is a booming little town now because of that movie and all the revenue that they got from all the visitors that came. And when I visited the Ho Rainforest, we stopped in Forks, and that whole town is covered in twilight. Anywhere you go, anything you do, all the little shops you go into is all overtaken by twilight. And they really did save that town and that community. So the top left-hand corner is very much similar to the bottom left-hand corner. It does, I would say, get a little less rain though. Moving to the right, top-hand corner. And top or bottom left hand or bottom right, or wow, you guys, it is not far into this podcast, and I already can't speak English. The top right hand corner and the bottom right hand corner of our state are very similar. It gets twice as hot, if not three times hotter over there. It is very much like California over. On the east side of Washington State, there is a lot of desert. There is just a lot of flat land. There are no evergreen trees in eastern Washington. It gets very hot, very dry heat. So, a lot of people in the summer, even in the springtime, when we have really crappy summer days, people just have to drive about an hour east, and as soon as you get over the Cascade Mountains, I mean, it is absolutely beautiful. The sun is out, there's not a cloud in sight, and a lot of people like to go over to the sand dunes, and you can get on a little buggy, a little sand dune buggy, and you can drive around and go on sand. People do sand surfing there. I mean, here in Washington, you really can do everything, and I mean, the whole left-hand side of our state is completely covered by the Pacific Ocean. We have a ton of lakes here. We do hydroplane races during the summertime, which is really awesome. If you guys have never checked that out, go look it up on YouTube. It's pretty cool to go and watch those. And yes, if you're wondering, we do are and famous for the Seattle Space Needle, which which I am going to assume a number of about 90% of the people that live here have never even been to the Space Needle. It is definitely a tourist attraction. They just recently actually remodeled the Seattle Space Needle and completely took out the floor of the needle and completely replaced it with glass. So now when you're up several hundred feet in the air, you are walking on a glass floor. Which I'm sure a lot of people will not be taking a trip back to the Space Needle. We just recently had a renovation on our Seattle waterfront, which they are still renovating, which they put in a gigantic, like 300-foot Ferris wheel, which I have been on once because of the sole fact that it cost over $30 for one 5-minute trip around the wheel. The cool thing though is one of the little, I don't know what you would call it, one of the, I guess we could call it a little gondola. One of the gondolas also has a glass bottom floor that you can pay an extra fee of $10 for. And I haven't been on that one. I heard it's pretty cool, a little bit terrifying. Depending on if that's what you're into or not. Personally, I'd like to go on it and see if it's worth the 10 extra bucks and fork over near $50. This is one of the more expensive states to live in, though. We have one of the, nowhere near San Francisco or New York, but housing is very expensive. If you are looking to move to Seattle, let's say downtown, not in Berrien, and you are looking for a 2-bedroom apartment, you are going to pay upwards anywhere, I would say, at the very, very lowest, $1,500, all the way up to thousands and thousands of dollars. Just a moderately priced apartment in the city. 2 bedrooms, probably going to run you about $1,850, if not $1,900. And with that, though, our minimum wage here in Washington, or in the city of Seattle, is $15, which has also gone up again. I believe it is now $15.50 an hour. And a lot of people were very concerned about the minimum wage in Seattle going up. And a lot of people travel out of the city of Seattle, specifically all over from Washington and Oregon, to come to work in Seattle. And a lot of people made comments that, you know, with the minimum wage going up, that everything else is going to go up with it, the cost of housing and food, just in general. And, you know, maybe it has, but a lot of people who do work downtown do not live downtown. And with that, you have all of the rest of Washington at a much lower minimum wage, which I believe now it just went up to $12. So if you do work in Seattle and making $15 an hour, it is probably your better bet to live outside of the city where prices haven't been offset and increased to make up for the higher wages people are paying. So if you do live outside of the city of Seattle, it can be, depending on what area you live in, very affordable and beneficial to work inside of Seattle and then live outside of the city itself. And I do live and work right outside of Seattle. And, you know, there is a lot of competing wage with Seattle. It's very hard now for businesses to hire employees under the $15 minimum wage, regardless of the fact that outside of Seattle, the minimum wage is only $12. You know, a lot of businesses are running into the issue of not being able to hire employees and get them to maintain employment because all of the employers out there are, you know, competing so hard with Seattle's minimum wage and the demand from employees to have higher wages that, you know, it's almost at this point very rare to find a job that is only offering minimum wage, because if they are hiring at minimum wage, the chance of them being able to hire an employee is very slim to none. So I do think it has affected a lot of businesses in a lot of negative ways where, you know, they can't even offer minimum wage, which, you know, when I started working about 8 years ago, I mean, which if you think about it, wasn't very long ago. I mean, I started and it was $7.63 an hour for minimum wage, and I thought it was a blessing when it went up to, I think it was like $8.23. So, it's crazy in that almost 8 years, minimum wage has doubled here in the city, in the state. Well, in the city of Seattle, but with the competition out there, everybody's paying the premium for wages. So I'm very interested to see where that takes us here in another 8 years. Are we going to be pushing $20+ an hour for, wages and the competition that's coming? I mean, one day it's going to be, I'm waiting for the day where minimum wage is $50 an hour and, a soda's costing you $20. It's going to get to the point where, minimum wage is so high, and then the price of goods around you is just gonna, seem absurd. But I guess it makes sense. Wages do go up that astronomically. The price of goods do, have to go up, but that's not affecting other countries as such. So, one day when, if minimum wage, increases to $20 or $30 an hour, and you want to go to a vacation in another country where, they're not near close, to the time from now to say 15 years, if our wages went plus $20 an hour for minimum wage, maybe their country was stagnant and they're still at where we were now. You could go on vacation and, really bring back a lot of stuff. And I think that it's going to cause a lot of people to be purchasing things from other states where, minimum wage is not anywhere near what we're making now. There are still some states where they're only making $7 an hour, and we have noticed such an increase in the amount of people that are now moving to the state. I would say about 5 to 10 years ago, it was very rare for someone to move into Burien. It was rare to hear about families packing up and moving to Seattle. It just was not a destination location. And with all these increase in housing and the increase in minimum wage, this city is implementing all new taxes, and it is causing all these people to move over here just because of the increase in minimum wage. And what they don't realize is that they're going to be paying the premium for housing and such. So we're getting in this thing where all, we're increasing the amount of people moving here, and we are dealing with a lot more homelessness now than we ever were before, and people move here and they can't afford to live here. But all these improvements that we're making around the city are coming from all these extra taxes that they're implementing. On top of that, we are attracting a lot more tourists now because of the fact that we, are really doing what our city needed 10, 15, 20 years ago. There was this whole article that came out that, Seattle was not ready for what's been happening to us these last 10 years with all these people moving over here, and a lot more just attraction to us being a destination location for people to come and take a vacation. It is all very messy. It is all a lot to take in and hard to understand, but I know Seattle is not the city it was 10 years ago. I'm not saying I don't suggest to move here. It is a very amazing city and a very amazing state to live in, and I will live here my whole life. And if you do really consider moving here, there is going to be that right job for you. You can find that house that is affordable. It takes time. I don't say moving here on a whim, getting a job here and just moving here and then looking for housing. Really, really put your time and effort into it, because if you are very attracted to the city of Seattle and you do and would like to work here, a lot of people are getting jobs here at Amazon. We have become the new headquarters for Amazon. We have a lot, and Microsoft and Boeing, we have some huge, huge major companies to work for here. But if you do your research, you do your math, you don't need to live in the city. There are cities outside of Seattle that are 20 and 30 minute drives, such as Federal Way, where you can find a 2-bedroom apartment easily for $1,200 a month, which It's way better for a 20-minute commute for $5 worth of gas than paying that extra premium to live close to the city when in reality it's not really that necessary. You can get all the things that you would like in moving to a different city and just being a little bit outside of that city. So if you haven't already noticed, this whole podcast has turned into a conversation and a venture into the just overall understanding of our Seattle's weird little economy that they have created, a little bit about the landscape and what Washington State has to offer for attractions. And if you are considering moving to Seattle, it is a very, very good time to start moving here before all the housing starts to get eaten up. We have a lot of high-rise condos and apartments being built now. So I'm going to end this podcast for today. And in our next podcast, I'm not sure where we're gonna go or where it's going to take us. I did have fun introducing myself to you guys, giving you a little glimpse into my life, where I live, and what my city has to offer. I really hope that you guys liked listening to my podcast. I really appreciate you if you have made it to the end of this podcast to listening to me ramble about how much I love my city and my state. If you guys do like this podcast, make sure you guys check and subscribe to my podcast channel and you guys come back and visit me on the next venture. For now, I say goodbye and I will have you guys next. Listen to me next time. Wow, really got to work on this outro. Again, thank you guys, and I will talk to you soon. Goodbye.